Welcome. The topic today is what it's like for an organization, a nonprofit social service provider in particular, to go through the experience of a random assignment evaluation, also known as a randomized control trial. To learn about the benefits as well as the realistic challenges involved, we're joined by Sarah Hurley, who is the research director for Youth Villages. Youth Villages provides behavioral services to children and adolescents in 11 states and the District of Columbia. In 2008, Youth Villages embarked on a random assignment evaluation of one of its signature programs, the Transitional Living Program. The study is being conducted by an independent third-party evaluator, and with a sample size of more than 1,300, it's the largest trial to date of an intervention for youth aging out of foster care. Preliminary one-year results are due out in 2014, but already Youth Villages provides practitioners around the nation with first-hand experience of being part of a rigorous evaluation. Sarah joins us by phone from Youth Villages headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Start us off, if you would, with some context about what the Transitional Living Program does.
The Transitional Living Program is a program that was set up to help youth who are aging out of foster care or who otherwise find themselves on the brink of adulthood without the skills to really live successfully as adults. So the goal of the program is to provide them with the information and the skills that they need to achieve their goals and to become contributing members of society.
So Sarah, the Transitional Living Program had been around since the early 1990s. There was more demand than supply. It had a good reputation. My first question is a basic one. Why did the organization decide to undertake a rigorous evaluation?
That's a good question. And some would say, why take the risk? But we can talk about that part later. But we have really since nearly the inception of the program, we have gathered outcome data on youth who have participated in this program, as well as youth who participate in all of our programs, you know, to find out what happens to them, not only at discharge, but at 6, 12, and 24 months post-discharge. So we really want to know what's going on with people, what outcomes are they seeing following this program. While that's, you know, we think that's a good and necessary activity, what it doesn't tell us is the impact of the program. In other words, what we really want to know is if youth hadn't had the service, where would they be? And since we don't collect data on youth who don't get our services, then we can't really answer that question. And the best way to answer that question is to do a random assignment evaluation where you actually compare youth who get the program to youth who don't get the program. It's the gold standard of research. It will give us a lot more confidence in our outcome evaluation activities if we know that compared to a group who didn't get the program, you know, the group that we serve did well. So it's really a very frightening activity because, you know, you're really opening your program up to examine it, you know, to intense scrutiny and examination. But that's how we're going to learn, and that's how we're going to be able to make it better, is to get information on, you know, what would have happened to these youth had they not had this program.
And can you talk, Sarah, a little bit more about the difference between performance measures, which are very useful for day-to-day, week-to-week management and leadership of the program? Those are metrics about how participants are doing in the program. The difference between that and more rigorous evaluation, where you're asking the question, what's the impact of my program? How do the outcomes of our participants, in other words, compare with similar individuals who aren't in our program and may have received services elsewhere in the community?
Sure. You know, we often present our outcomes to different groups. And, you know, I have a slide in there in the outcomes that show that at, I think it's at 24 months post-discharge, so 24 months after they've been through the program, something like 83, I can't remember the exact numbers, either 83 or 86% are still either living at home with family or living independently. And we go, wow, that's great, that's fantastic. And then every now and then somebody will raise their hand and go, okay, excuse me, compared to what? And I can't answer that question because I only look at youth who are in our program. And so I can't answer the question compared to what. There aren't a lot of other programs like ours out there And as far as I know, there's no other programs like ours out there that measure their outcomes. And so I really don't have a benchmark. And maybe 86% is great, but maybe it's not. Maybe it should be 96%. I just don't know. And so having that random assignment evaluation is going to allow us to see, you know, what are the benchmarks for youth who don't get these programs? How are they doing at post-discharge? Right now we're following them at 1 year with a phone survey, and then at years 2, 3, 4, and 5 with administrative data that will allow us to see for both groups, you know, what percent were in educational programs, what percent had graduated, what percent are employed, you know, all those kinds of things, so that we'll know if the outcomes that we find when we survey youth who've been in our programs are really good compared to youth who didn't get those services.
So, Sarah, I know from speaking with you that the decision of the organization to undergo a random assignment evaluation was not an easy one. There were important pros and cons involved. And although you can say on balance you all are very optimistic and glad you did go down this path, this was not an easy decision.
Absolutely. And it's certainly not an activity to be entered into lightly. It is a very difficult process to go through, having a third party evaluator come in and look at your programs. And I'll kind of start on the con side, on the, you know, those things that argue against doing a random assignment evaluation. First off, it's really frightening. you know, because like I said before, you're just laying yourself open for everybody to come in and look and see what you're doing, and then to look at the impact that your program has. You know, we have no control essentially over the outcomes that will be published. I mean, our third-party evaluator is going to publish whatever it is that they find, and you know, we'll have a lot of confidence in it. But it is a big gamble, because what happens if they don't find a significant difference between the treatment group and the control group? We're going to learn a lot, but it also means that some people will say, oh, your program's not effective, we're not going to buy it anymore. So it's a risk that you take. Another thing is it's a time-consuming activity. I mean, we have a research coordinator, a full-time research coordinator, who particularly during study recruitment, that was her entire job, and it took an incredible amount of time. When we were trying to recruit youth into the study, we found that we needed a lot more staff to do the assessments to make sure that youth who were being randomized into the study were really appropriate for our services. And so we ended up spending a lot more money on those assessors than we had initially planned. But once we got into it, we knew that was the only way to make sure that all the youth in the study were actually appropriate for our program. Another, you know, thing on the con side would be that we already do, you know, an ongoing outcome evaluation process. So, you know, you might think, well, this is just another expense and it's time consuming. Why would we want to do it? But I said, I've already addressed that. The process that we do, while it's good and it's valuable to us, is not the gold standard and does not answer the question, what's the impact of this program? And the other thing is that referral sources and service purchasers really don't require it. Now, there's getting to be more and more agencies that are moving to require evidence-based practices, but you know, for some populations like the transition age youth, there are no evidence-based practices right now, so they can't really require them. So, you know, it's an expense that we have to bear. Our referral sources, our service purchasers are not willing to bear the expense of doing a random assignment evaluation, but you know, we feel like it's important, so we undertook it.
And then on the pro side, you had other factors. For example, you've already mentioned one. Rigorous evaluation gives you a benchmark to know how your program is doing. In other words, what impact it's having.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's definitely, you know, at the top of the list. You know, having that benchmark, being able to say, that our program has a specific impact on these specific outcomes. You know, we're hoping to have an impact on a variety of different outcomes, including housing stability, education, employment, connections to the community. So we really will be able to demonstrate the actual impact of the program on those different outcomes for youth. And so I think that we'll be able to make, you know, assuming that we see those outcomes or those impacts, we'll be able to make a more compelling argument that our program should be more widely available to youth. Another good thing about doing this evaluation is there is incredible value in having an independent person who's not connected to your organization come in and look so thoroughly at your processes and your program, because you know, having to explain yourself to somebody else, having, you know, for our specialists who were interviewed for the implementation evaluation and who took the evaluators on ride-alongs and all that kind of thing, you know, having to explain why we do what we do, why we, you know, meet with the youth at, you know, at these particular intervals, why we engage in this treatment planning process, all of that, I think that's very valuable for us to really stop and think about how we have constructed our program and how we implement it on a daily basis. Now, we do have processes for reviewing that regularly, but I still think it's really valuable to have a fresh set of eyes on that every now and again. Another thing is that, or on the pro side, is that this has been a very exciting process for us. I mean, we were able to link up with MDRC, which is an organization that has extensive experience in evaluating social programs. They are leaders in employing this kind of methodology, this random assignment methodology. And so it's really been fantastic working with them. We were also extremely fortunate to have Mark Courtney as our principal investigator. And Mark, who's at Chapin Hall at the University of Chicago, you know, is really probably the leading researcher in the area of transition age youth in the country. And so having him come in and look at our program and think through, you know, how we're going to measure different outcomes and impacts has just been invaluable and a very exciting opportunity for us.
Another factor on the pro side that I've heard you mention is seeing on the horizon the growing push towards evidence-based practices from government and from foundation funders.
Yes, and I think it's, you know, for this particular sector, I think the push has been much harder from the foundation side, but I think government is starting to catch up to that. You know, part of the issue is that there's not actually a lot of government funding for transition age youth because they fall in that sort of weird, you know, netherworld of not quite children and not quite adults. And so the funding for transition age youth programs has been pretty sparse over the years, although we're starting to see quite a bit more of that.
We'll end this portion of the interview here, but the conversation will continue. I'm going to ask Sarah her input on the ethical issues involved in random assignment and also her advice to other organizations that may be considering doing a rigorous evaluation. And I'll post her answers to the blog. But for now, Sarah Hurley from Youth Villages, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you, Andy.